Everybody, what's going on? We're back here for another fun interview. I'm going to hang out with you for a little while with my dear old friend, Mr. Rob Carlisle. We're going to get into that in a few seconds. But before I do, I got to tell you about a couple advertisers, sponsors of this show, not only tonight, but all of our shows. First up is the Go Run Foundation. I just interviewed the head of the Go Run Foundation the other day, Noel Ransom, and they're having their virtual walk, which actually starts tomorrow. And it goes from September 1st to October 19th. And you can go to their website, gorunfoundation.org, and you can sign up to do their virtual walk. It lasts 6 weeks, so you can do it in that time span. And it's going to benefit the organization called A Color of Change to End Social Injustice. So go to gorunfoundation.org for more information, for all the details, to sign up for the virtual walk. And the virtual walk, also, you'll get prizes. You get a t-shirt, you'll get eligible for medals, rewards, and other things. So like I said, go to gorunfoundation.org for all the details. And of course, all of our shows are brought to you by Next Home Brandywine in Downingtown, Pennsylvania. Our good friend, Mr. Dan Peasy, and his team of professional realtors, they provide you with guidance, knowledge, and information for all buyers and sellers. Go to nexthomebrandywine.com for all the details or to contact an agent. They do service Philadelphia and the surrounding counties, but nationwide referrals are available. Be sure to ask for the NH5 listing special or just give them a call directly at 484-364-4862. That's 484-364-4862. That's nexthomebrandywine.com. And don't forget to tell them Totally Driven Radio sent you. And here he is, the man, the myth, the legend himself, the one and only. And truly, I mean this, the one and only Mr. Rob Carlisle. What's going on there, buddy?
I'm all right, man. I'm making the best of it. How about you?
Making the best. I think that speaks volumes. Like, how have you, I mean, we haven't really. Hold on 1 second. There we go. So we haven't talked really in a long time.
Yeah.
We talk pretty regularly. Yeah, I used to know all the dirt and all the details going on in the world of Crazy Rob. In the last 6 months with this whole pandemic of, Corona, COVID.
Yep.
How are you holding up, man? You've been in the thick of it up in there in New York.
Yeah, definitely the thick of it. Trying to make the best of it, staying in mostly, masking up. I figured, maybe put out their album right now would be a good time. Everybody's home, so you have their attention. So I figured, let's just go for it. Nobody else is putting out a record, so seemed like could be a good time.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess this would say like you're kind of beating everybody to the punch, because I've been saying all along, like 2021, the end of 2020, there's going to be an explosion of new music, and I guess the time is right since this music's been done.
Yeah, it's been done for, I mean, I've been working on this album and a lot of other material for about, 5 years. This one it's been done, a year. I finished it about a year ago. For one reason or another, it didn't seem like it was the right time to put it out. I actually started to form another band earlier this year. And then, that was right around February, March, and then the pandemic hit. And so that got put on hold, and I was like, all right, let's put this album out,
So wait a minute. Wait. So you were forming a whole nother band.
Yeah. More of like a blue, even bluesier and more rootsier version of the Compulsions. So we would do, we have our own material. We were going to cover, the Compulsions and our own stuff. And then, whatever kind of covers that we would maybe sort of do. But again, that got put on hold. So, I figured let's just put out the album, the Compulsions album.
Now you're like really, you're getting me amped up here, because we have a lot to talk about. Okay. So with this new, is this going to be like just a Rob Carlisle thing? Was this going to like,
I put it together. I don't want to give away too many details, as you could probably imagine. But it's very Compulsions-y. Obviously, anything that I do is going to probably have that kind of sound or that kind of vibe. So it's not like a massive departure. but I would say it's a more rootsier version. So, you know, not, it wouldn't be, it's probably not going to get into any like punk territory or any like kind of, you know, semi-metal-esque territory. It'd definitely be like the rootsier aspect of what the Compulsions does. So what does that mean? Obviously the blues and a little bit of funk and the, you know, southern or country or whatever you want to call that kind of music, reggae, you know, but any not the metallic aspect of what the Compulsions does and not the punk version. So a band that my hope was that it would be a band that could play out more than the Compulsions plays out, because as we know, the Compulsion doesn't play out that often.
Right.
So my goal was to make a band that could actually like do stuff. And then the pandemic hit and like nobody's doing nothing. So,
right.
But we have our own songs, our own material. I was going to put out an EP. That kind of was the goal, was I was going to put out an EP by this new band and the Compulsions album at the same time, and then use this band to sort of promote the Compulsions album and our own stuff. So again, you know that expression, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? So none of that really worked out. And so I figured, all right, so one thing at a time, let's put out the Compulsions album because it's done, and you know, start to do some publicity for that, you know, stuff like this podcast, and take it from there.
All right, so let me ask this magical question. Did this other project, did they have a lineup? Because we know the Compulsions has been you know, this all-star lineup of sorts that, you know, has left you for greener pastures, what shall we say?
Yeah, you can look at it that way. That was the goal, was that this band would be a more reliable, you know, lineup that I could count on to do shows and just, you know, do stuff. So that was the name of the band. I'm not going to give away the name or who's in it or anything like that, but it's just another, you know, if you think the Compulsions is cool, then I think you would think this is cool too. Again, a more roots rock version of the Compulsions. So even though the Compulsions is very rootsy, but we would dive more into that category.
So I know you're not going to give away names, but is there anybody in this other project that we know?
What do you mean we? And what do you mean no? Some of the guys I've been affiliated with in the past. So that's all I can say.
Interesting. Very interesting. This I can already see this conversation is going to remind me, maybe not as good as the day that we got to spend when you came down and played a show for me in Philly, because I think I said this before on air. If people were in the car with us for our conversation that day, and we said it throughout that our conversation as we were driving around, if people could hear our conversation, it would just blow their minds away.
What was I in rare form or something?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? And we kind of just met, or we had done an interview before.
Yeah, we did a few interviews.
Yeah. Everything I said ended up coming true, if I remember correctly, right?
It's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact conversation because I was probably talking a mile a minute, as I can sometimes do. But if you say it's true, then I'm sure it's true.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. It was way before the actual Guns N' Roses reunion happened, and there was a lot of Guns N' Roses talk in our conversation. And yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah. Interesting. So, all right. So, where do we start? So, actually, again, like since something you did. From the shows.
I kind of lost you there for a minute. I don't know what you said.
You went over to Europe and did some shows last year.
Oh, yeah. The past couple of years, I've gone over there a couple of times. My friend Daryl Bath, who people might know, he was in a band called The Crybabies, and he does his own stuff. And we're musically very compatible, and actually, on a human level, we're also very compatible. And his girlfriend actually put the whole thing together both times. And we went out there and we played a bunch of shows in England, Germany, and Sweden.
Cool.
Yeah. Fun. Yeah.
How was that compared to, you know, like East Coast crowds?
Well, everybody always told me that, you know, once you get to Europe, you're going to see that the crowds are more enthusiastic. And I have to say that it was for the most part true. Yeah, there was like, they kind of, you know, they kind of know their quote unquote rock and roll, you know, history and folklore and all that kind of stuff. And so it was really cool to, you know, play for those people and hang out with those people. And it was great. It was really awesome.
How is it, you know, a big thing here, I guess, in the States, is a lot of, you know, people who are, I guess, are too cool for school, like to really get into the show and the music and let their emotions show sometimes. You think it's a little bit of that where they're not as maybe, you know, pretentious over there, where they're not trying to be too cool?
I have to say, I don't really have a problem with the American audiences. They've always been really cool, you know, to me and with what I'm doing. But I just think like over there, there's more people, like the kind of music that I play, they
it's more accepted.
What's that?
It's more accepted.
Well, they know more of the bands of that style. Like there's people that know the bands of that style, whatever you want to call that style, you know, a bluesy / punky kind of rock and roll. There's a bunch of bands like what I do that sort of fit in that category. And there's a bigger audience out there, it seems like, or more passionate audience out there. And I definitely noticed that, you know. I don't know if they're too cool for, I don't know if they're too cool for school here in New York or in the States. I don't know. I don't know if I would say that, but I sort of know what you mean.
It's just a lot of people standing there like this, like impressed. You know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about. I never really had a problem with that. Luckily we get over. So whatever I do sort of gets over. So I'm happy to say that I have a lot of problems, but I don't have that one.
The problems of Rob Carlisle. And yeah. That's not one.
Yeah.
So how about actually I think the last time that we did truly talk on air at least was for one of my anniversary shows where you called in and you were actually in the studio with a mutual friend of ours who you've done a lot of work with was Bumblefoot. And
that's
you had
right.
put out a few cover songs with Ron.
Yeah. Yeah. We did that year we put out three. We did Revolution by the Beatles. We did Shock Me by Kiss. And we did Fascination Street by The Cure, like just a wild, you wouldn't put those three bands together.
Right.
But we did them because, like, you know, I just had a crazy idea of how to, you know, do each of those three songs. And we just, you know, had fun. That was kind of my first experience working with him, and we had a great time. And so he's all over this new album. And if people are interested, they can check the credits even. The album is right. It's called Ferocious. It comes out on November 13th. And if you go to iTunes right now, you can pre-order it. And you'll get, again, a couple of other covers. We do Dead Flowers by the Stones, and we do a Guns N' Roses song. We do Dust and Bones. But on each song, you could see, like, the credits of, like, you know, all the players that are that are on each song. So I thought that was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. I want to get into the players list on this album too. But one thing that, as you mentioned now with Ferocious, and I want to say this, let me say this right off the bat about Ferocious. You actually sent me last summer before I moved here to Nashville, you had sent me like a preview of the album and I heard it and I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Okay.
And then you sent me the link again last week and I got to refamiliarize myself with it again.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, like after listening to it again, it, in my head, I said to myself, like, if Keith Richards had a threesome with Rob Zombie and Joan Jett, the love child of that spawning would be Ferocious. Because
I'll take that one. I'll take that.
Ferocious is truly a rock and roll album. It's the album that not only rock and roll needs, but it's the album that everybody needs.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Because it's true. It's blues, it's rock, it's metal, it's punk. It's a hodgepodge of it all that spits out ferocious.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I'm glad you approve.
You got my approval rating.
All right, awesome. That was the goal.
There you go.
What would Bay like? So,
but I'm going to say, now here's the thing. Like, going back to our conversation in the car, we kind of talked about this, the whole Guns N' Roses thing. You've had this connection with GNR, with, you know, you've had Rob Ford, Richard Fortus, and Frank Ferrer, who were part of the band at one time. They were in the early stages of this album, I think. You know, Ron Bumblefoot, who was a member of Guns N' Roses as well, has been part of your musical ferociousness as of late. And you have this whole Guns N' Roses like thing going on. And even with the album cover Ferocious, it kind of reminds me of your own version of, if you were in Appetite of Destruction era Guns N' Roses, what your skull would look like.
Oh boy. Okay.
So you don't try to distance any Guns N' Roses.
I don't know. I mean, the last album cover was also a nod towards a classic album cover. Yeah. And then we've also when we put out the Beatles cover, the EP, you know, artwork on that was, I mean, obviously very much like the White Album. And actually, I have another album cover in the works that's like kind of takes a nod towards another classic classic rock album cover, completely different than the ones that we just mentioned. But I had another idea and I was like, okay. I guess part of the thinking behind that is like, you know, I don't have a record label. I don't have a PR firm. I don't have nothing. So I just got to get your attention, you know, as much as possible online or you know, I guess that's it online. So what can you do? You know, you can't, what can you do that? What can you put your own spin on? And I don't do this all the time, but once in a while, and I did it this time and I did it the last time, and I don't know if I'm going to do it the next time, but what can you do to like just grab people's attention and, you know, make them press play on your stuff and make a big, bold statement that you kind of have to live up to. And so that's how that came about.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, okay. I totally dig it.
Okay, good.
I mean, it works. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but I just wanted to see, like, there's a very good closeness of this whole Guns N' Roses thing, which I just saw too. Like, there was a statement put out there that supposedly Slash and Duff have heard your stuff and are fans of the Compulsions.
I don't know if they're fans, but yeah, that's what I was told. That's what I was told when Frank Ferrer, who you mentioned, was first rehearsing with them. I was texting him and I was giving him like a hard time, and I said something like, you know, make sure you rehearse my lineup real good for when we go on the road. And then he immediately fired back. He said, I played the Compulsions for them. They love the Compulsions. And I remember love was like in capital L-O-V-E. So me, as you know, being a wise ass all the time, my reply was something like, of course they love it. It sounds like they're already on it, you know. So yeah, that's how that went down. So I don't know if they're fans. I don't know if they remember him playing that, but that's what I was told at the time. I have no follow up on that, so we could ask Frank.
Nice. So now, is Frank or Fortus or either one on this album at all? Or
Fortus is not. Frank is on like half the album. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, I don't work with those guys any longer. I don't even talk to those guys.
Wow.
So I got in another drummer who's an amazing New York area drummer. A guy named Brian Delaney is on just about every other track. And he was in the Dolls, and he's worked with Melissa Etheridge a lot. And then there's one dude who's named Ethan Eubanks, and he's on one track, and he's an excellent drummer from around town as well. So there's different guys, you know, there's different guys on every track almost. But the goal is to make it seem like one, you know, cohesive album. Right. So you don't sit there thinking like, oh, you know, this is a massive, you know, even though there are, it's weird because there are massive musical departures on the album, but I've always been, and I don't shy away from saying this. I've always been a fan of the Stones. I've always been a fan of Led Zeppelin, and you put on their albums and like, you know, they just do so many different genres and styles and feels and on an album, and yet it all hangs together and it feels like it's the same band. So how do we do that? I have no idea, but luckily, because you know that's annoying too when you discover a new band and it's like they like one song is like they kind of throw you almost too much with the vibes that they put out. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
You kind of want everything to sort of be in sort of the same wheelhouse, even sometimes from album to album. You know, like there's a connection between all this stuff. You know. I mean, Chris Robinson actually had a great quote that I never forget that he said in an interview, and I kind of know what he means, referring to like everybody in rock and roll. He basically said, if you do it right, it's all like one big, long, giant song. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you do it right. So all my favorite bands, you know, you could put them all back to back. And there's just a vibe that connects them all. And it, you know, and I guess that vibe is rock and roll. I really don't know how else to explain it, you know?
Well, speaking of the rock and roll vibe, you mentioned, it's funny. As soon as you said, love was L-O-V-E real big right away. I was like, I hear David Johansen singing in my head. And
well, that was L-U-V.
L-U-V. Well, which was going to make me go into your now the Dolls connection, which you had with Sammy a little bit, Sammy Yaff right. of Hanoi Rocks fame and New York Dolls fame, but with Brian Delaney, who played with the Dolls in their latest incarnation, and also Earl Slick, who played not only with Bowie and Lennon, but played with the Dolls.
Wow, you have done your homework, Bay.
Come on now.
I don't know that a lot of people know that, but yeah, he did play with the Dolls.
He took Steve Conte's place.
Yeah, there had after Conte, there was a couple of guys. I think there was a Blondie guitar player in there for a minute too.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the order. And unfortunately, it seems like the Dolls have taken a break right now. I love them, I think that Earl was the last guitar player that they went on the road with. I don't know if he's on an actual album or not.
Conte did the two albums, reunion. Yeah.
Okay. But no, Earl's phenomenal. I mean, if people are curious, they could go check out the Compulsion's Instagram page, and I have a lot of behind the scenes footage of the making of the album, and you could see Earl working on some songs. And you know, I mean, the guy is rock and roll royalty, and you know, I sat this close to him, and I could tell you the reason why is because he's just incredible. Yeah, and he's pure rock and roll. You know, and I think people mostly associate him with Bowie and John Lennon to a degree, but he loves that Stonesy bluesy type stuff. I mean that it came so natural for him. It was almost like he could be in the Stones. You know,
sure.
What I mean? Yeah,
sure. So it makes me want to ask you, like, if and when there's ever live shows again, whenever this does happen. When you look to your left and right on stage, when it's the Compulsions, not this other project, are we going to see any of these other names next to you?
Yeah, well, you know, there's talk right now. I don't know if it's going to happen. So I hate talking about stuff that I don't know if it's going to happen. But there is a guy out there, a promoter, who has an idea for a socially distanced tour. And he's got a spin on it. It's not the drive-in thing. He's got some other kind of spin. I don't want to give it away because it's just it's a cool idea. But it's a cool idea. It sounds great on paper. I don't know if we're going to do it, but I ran it past the guys. And I can tell you that Brian and Alec Morton, who's all over this album too, bass.
Rage Slab.
Yep. Alec and Brian and Bumble, like, we're all down to do it. So that could potentially be it. Is it going to happen? It's not in my hands right now, but we are, you know, everybody said yes as recently as this weekend.
Wow.
So I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, it sounds like a crazy idea to me, but if they can put it together and the situation is right, like, me and the guys will do it.
Interesting. Very interesting. So, I mean, you still, after the other lineup of the Compulsions with, you know, Fortis and Frank and Sammy, where they left to go, you know, the Guns N' Roses, or Sammy went back to be with Michael Monroe, it's almost like you haven't learned your lesson, because these other guys at any moment could end up leaving you to go, like Ron, he's the lead singer of Asia now.
Yeah. Well, nobody's going anywhere right now. Yeah, so that's why I ended up, you know, probably that's why I ended up putting together this rootsier band that I keep referring to. Because I was like, well, I don't know that I have a band that's going to be able to play. And I definitely want to play. So let me put together a perhaps more accessible band.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been doing. I probably never should have called the band the Compulsions from the get-go. I mean, my goal was to always have like a real band with, you know, four guys that you could count on always being there. For reasons beyond my control, that has not been the case. but, you know, hopefully people get by this point that if I'm behind the wheel, that it's going to be a musically satisfying experience, you know, no matter who's in the band or who's on the album. So, but yeah, it would be nice to have a band that was more at my disposal. So,
yeah, absolutely.
We shall see.
Interesting. We are patiently waiting this.
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on in the world right now, so it's definitely not. I have a good excuse at this point.
At this point, you have a good excuse.
Yeah.
Now, how about the which kind of like shocked me as I was going through earlier and getting, you know, ready for the interview, was I didn't realize like the time has truly flown. It's been 5 years since your last album.
Yeah.
Well, like, why do you wait so long, man? Well, like, I know you've had this album.
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I have way more than these 10 songs that I've been working on. There's at least another 2.5 albums worth of material. When that lineup dissolved, there's no way else for me to say it, but, you know, my heart was broken.
Sure. You
know, I mean, those guys broke my heart. They hate me or whatever. I don't know what I said or what I did wrong, but it just did not work out. It would not work out with those guys despite my best efforts. So I was beside myself and I didn't know what to do. So I went back to doing what I always do, which is write. So I just wrote a bunch of stuff and not knowing what I was going to do with it. And then little by little, you know, I was like, okay, well, I could get this bass player, that drummer, that guitar player, that other guitar player. And eventually made this album. So 5 years. It sounds like it took 5 years to make an album, but there is other. You know, there's at least 30 more, 20 more, 30 more songs. You know, worth finishing off. I did a couple of tours, mini tours here and there in Europe. So it wasn't like I was just sitting home watching Looney Tunes. You know. And then this other little band that I tried to form on the side. So, you know, even though you might not hear from me, even people might think that, you know, what's Rob doing today? Rob is doing something. He's trying to do something every day. And, you know, if you just move the ball forward, you know, an inch or two, you know, eventually that's going to add up. So let's see what this adds up to.
That's the thing, like, where I wonder what Rob's been up to, because you kind of went like social media silent for a while.
Yeah. I mean, after a while, it's like, how many times can you, I don't really like social media. I know that it's a necessary evil, but like, I kind of just, I try to, although it's not easy sometimes, because sometimes you just want to comment on what's going on in the world today, but I try to mostly use it to talk about the band or the music or whatever I'm doing. Right. And so if I don't have anything worth reporting, then I'm just going to be quiet, you know? So now people are probably seeing or hearing from me a little bit more, and that's because I got something to say, you know?
The music is ready to talk.
Yeah. So, and luckily, you know, it's been getting a good response from, you know, guys like you. So, you know, the public needs to, go to that iTunes page and check out. You could at least hear the two covers And if you poke around and put two and two together on the Instagram page, you can start to hear like the beginnings of some of the songs and get a feel for like what we were doing.
Right.
So, and then I've also put out a couple of some teaser videos here and there where you can hear, like, for example, we have a song on the album called Dirtbag Blues, which is 60 seconds long. And, you know, you can hear that whole song in its entirety. It's an unmastered version of it, but you can hear it on the video. So, nice. Yeah. So 5 years, yes, but I've been doing stuff.
You've been busy, just very quiet, a low profile.
Yeah.
Okay, so November 13th, the big day.
Friday the 13th.
Hmm. Is there going to be any, have any other videos cooked up for anything?
I do. Yeah, I have definitely one that's done and ready to go. And then I have another idea for another one that I'm probably going to put together and put that out first. That'll showcase all the guys in it.
Okay.
I think people like seeing faces. They like seeing names that they recognize. So let's give them that. That'll be coming out hopefully soon.
Nice.
I have time. I have until November 13th. Get that done. I definitely can get that done.
Cool. So where's the best place everybody should go to keep up to date with you, the compulsions?
Well, definitely the website, but you know, my social media page and then Instagram too. There's stuff on Instagram all the time. I don't have a Twitter, although I probably should. So
you used to, though. You got rid of it.
Did I?
You used to a while ago. I remember a couple of years ago, I went to tweet you something. I was like, wow, you got rid of the.
I guess I did. I mean, honestly, I don't really like the whole thing. But I can see, you know, that it's a necessary evil. Yeah, I guess I got to get back on that. It's just like, how many things can I take care of at once? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What, do you do all that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How about TikTok? Are you going to be on TikTok?
Isn't that for like 12-year-old girls?
That's what I thought initially.
Uh-huh.
But now it's like for everybody.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's another thing I got to take care of. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's been a few of those things that have come down the pike that came and went. And I'm like, you know what? I'm real glad I didn't jump on
right
whatever that bandwagon was. I can't remember the names of those things. But
yeah,
you know,
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
Snapchat, I think, was
one
of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was like, okay, everybody's got to be on Snapchat now. Okay.
Right.
It's just nonstop. It's just really nonstop. And I don't know.
Yeah, like how are you supposed to maintain all the socials, do your own PR work, and promote and do interviews, and on top of all that, then you have to actually write and record and perform the music as well.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know, and not to mention get into all the trouble in your real life that then you write songs about. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you got to do all that stuff, I guess.
Interesting.
Is anybody doing it? I don't know if anybody is successfully doing it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
We're all successful in our own mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know if anybody at the independent level is really nailing all the different things they need to nail. For me, if the songs aren't there, man, if the plane isn't there, then I don't give a fuck what TikTok bullshit, Twitter followers you got, your fake fucking Spotify plays today. That's all, that shit's just all fake, inflated bullshit. You know, at the end of the day, if you don't got the songs, you ain't got nothing.
It's true. It's absolutely
true. There's a lot of people out there that have all the numbers, and then you press play on the shit and it ain't shit. You know, so eventually all this stuff is going to go away and we'll be replaced by something else, and you'll have wasted all your time doing that stuff. But meanwhile, what's going to go down in the history books is the songs.
And at that point, 8-tracks will be back.
Exactly. Yeah, we can only hope. We can only hope.
We can only hope. One other question I wanted to ask you too, since you are in New York, I think I saw, I guess last week it was going around, supposedly there's like, I don't know if it was the mayor or governor, whoever, like there's going to be no live ticketed events or something like that in New York. Like,
Yeah. That's the other thing, too, I should add. I have another thing that I'm doing on September 18th. I'm playing a show at a place called Marshall Stack. And I'm probably going to have a special guest with me. But the deal is, it's crazy. It's like, it's socially distanced. So you literally play in the window of the place while people sit outside. And there's got to be a certain amount of feet away. And you're not allowed to advertise the show. And you're not allowed to actually draw that many people either. So it's like, it's kind of bizarre. The music has got to be quote unquote incidental, supposedly. So I'm not advertising this, but I am telling people that on September 18th, I'll be at Marshall Stack playing. I should have a special guest or two with me. And like you said, you're not allowed to promote it. You're not allowed to advertise. You're not allowed to sell tickets to it. So I'm just doing that to keep, you know, the creative juices flowing and have some fun. You're right. What you just said is true.
Crazy yeah. times, man. Crazy freaking yeah. times. Yeah. So you know what you need to do? I was thinking about this earlier. I was going to ask you this like earlier today. So you come back on here. We do this again when the album is officially released, and bring your acoustic with you and do a song for us.
Do a song on online. Yeah, why not? Let's do that.
Man. Yeah. I had Donnie V from Enough's Enough did a song for me.
Oh, did he? Oh,
yeah.
Cool,
came out really good too. Yeah.
Did he? Okay, cool. I'll check that out for some inspiration. That's great.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
cool. All right, so let's keep in touch a little more now, and you know, especially since you're off of road, you know, radio silence, and you have things to say.
I have things to say. I have things to do. Yeah, totally.
So let's set that up for November when you come back, and we'll talk more ferocious as the world can finally hear it, not just me.
Yeah, totally. I appreciate that. We're gonna do that.
Awesome. Rob, always a pleasure, man. Always a lot of fun talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
And don't be a stranger.
No. Yeah, I'm gonna follow up right after this.
Cool. All right, hang tight. I'm gonna end the live feed.
Okay, cool.